Titans and gave chase. Diverse sources show that the game had spread into other parts of Europe by the early 15th century. We know that Norway was an early convert to the game. Could Gudwin Neen's cousin Olaf have introduced the game there? Because of the verse written by the poet Ingolfur the Iambic in the early 1400s. Oh, the thrill of the chase as I soar through the air, with the snitch up ahead and the wind in my hair. As I draw ever closer, the crowd gives a shout. But then comes a bludger, and I am knocked out. Around the same time, the French wizard Malacry wrote the following lines in his play, Alas, je me suis transfiguré les pieds. Alas, I've transfigured my feet. Grand oui. I cannot go with you to the market today, crapaud. Crapaud? But grand oui, I cannot carry the cow alone. Grand oui. You know, crapaud, that I am to be keeper this morning. Who will stop the quaffle if I do not? The year 1473 saw the first ever Quidditch World Cup, though the nations represented were all European. The non-appearance of teams from more distant nations may be put down to the collapse of owls bearing letters of invitation, the reluctance of those invited to make such a long and perilous journey, or perhaps a simple preference for staying at home. The final, between Transylvania and Flanders, has gone down in history as the most violent of all time, and many of the fouls then recorded had never been seen before. For instance, the transfiguration of a chaser into a polecat, the attempted decapitation of a keeper with a broadsword, and the release from under the robes of the Transylvanian captain of 100 blood-sucking vampire bats. The World Cup has since been held every 4 years, though it was not until the 17th century that non-European teams turned up to compete. In 1652, the European Cup was established, and it has been played every 3 years since. Of the many superb European teams, perhaps the Bulgarian Vratsa Vultures is most renowned. 7 times European Cup winners, the Vratsa Vultures are undoubtedly one of the most thrilling teams in the world to watch. Pioneers of the long goal, shooting from well outside the scoring area, and always willing to give new players a chance to make a name for themselves. In France, the frequent league winners, the Quiberon Quaffle Punchers, are famed for their flamboyant play as much for their shocking pink robes. In Germany, we find the Heidelberg Harriers, the team that the Irish captain Darren O'Hare once famously said was fiercer than a dragon and twice as clever. Luxembourg, always a strong Quidditch nation, has given us the Bougainville Bombers, celebrated for their offensive strategies and always among the top goal scorers. The Portuguese team Braga Brumfleet have recently broken through into the top levels of the sport with their groundbreaking beta marking system. And the Polish Grodzisk Goblins gave us arguably the world's most innovative seeker, Józef Ronski. Australia and New Zealand. Quidditch was introduced to New Zealand sometime in the 17th century, allegedly by a team of European herbologists who had gone on an expedition there to research magical plants and fungi. We are told that after a long day's toil collecting samples, these witches and wizards let off steam by playing Quidditch under the bemused gaze of the local magical community. The New Zealand Ministry of Magic has certainly spent much time and money preventing Muggles getting hold of Maori art of that period, which clearly depicts white wizards playing Quidditch. These carvings and paintings are now on display at the Ministry of Magic in Wellington. The spread of Quidditch to Australia is believed to have occurred sometime in the 18th century. Australia may be said to be an ideal Quidditch-playing territory, given the great expanses of uninhabited outback where Quidditch pitches may be established. Antipodean teams have always thrilled European crowds with their speed and showmanship. Among the best are the Motuhora macaws, New Zealand, with their famous red, yellow and blue robes and their phoenix mascot, Sparky. The Thundalara Thunderers and the Wollongong Warriors have dominated the Australian League for the best part of a century. Their enmity is legendary among the Australian magical community, so much so that a popular response to an unlikely claim or boast is, "Yeah, and I think I'll volunteer to ref the next Thunderer Warrior game." Africa. The broomstick was probably introduced to the African continent by European wizards and witches traveling there in search of information on alchemy and astronomy, subjects in which African wizards have always been particularly skilled. Though not yet as widely played as in Europe, Quidditch is becoming increasingly popular throughout the African continent. Uganda, in particular, is emerging as a keen Quidditch-playing nation. Their most notable club, the Patonga Proudsticks, held the Montrose Magpies to a draw in 1986, to the astonishment of most of the Quidditch-playing world. Six Proudstick players recently represented Uganda in the Quidditch World Cup, the highest number of flyers from a single team ever united on a national side. Other African teams of note include the Chumba Charmers, Togo, Masters of the Reverse Pass, the Jimbi Giant Slayers, Ethiopia, twice winners of the All-Africa Cup, and the Sumbawanga Sunrays, Tanzania, a highly popular team whose formation looping has delighted crowds across the world. North America. Quidditch reached the North American continent in the early 17th century, although it was slow to take hold there owing to the great intensity of anti-wizarding feeling unfortunately exported from Europe at the same time. The great caution exercised by wizard settlers, many of whom had hoped to find less prejudice in the New World, tended to restrict the growth of the game in its early days. In later times, however, Canada has given us three of the most accomplished Quidditch teams in the world: the Moose Jaw Meteorites, the Haileybury Hammers, and the Stonewall Stormers. The Meteorites were threatened with disbandment in the 1970s owing to their persistent practice of performing post-match victory flights over neighboring towns and villages while trailing fiery sparks from their broom tails. The team now confines this tradition to the pitch at the end of each match, and Meteorite games consequently remain a great wizarding tourist attraction. The United States has not produced as many world-class Quidditch teams as other nations because the game has had to compete with the American broom game Quadpot. A variant of Quidditch, Quadpot was invented by the 18th century wizard Abraham Peasgood, who had brought a quaffle with him from the old country and intended to recruit a Quidditch team. The story goes that Peasgood's quaffle had inadvertently come in contact with the tip of his wand in his trunk, so that when he finally took it out and began to throw it around in a casual manner, it exploded in his face. Peasgood, whose sense of humor appears to have been robust, promptly set out to recreate the effect on a series of leather balls, and soon all thought of Quidditch was forgotten, as he and his friends developed a game which centered on the explosive properties of the newly renamed Quad. There are 11 players aside in the game of Quadpot. They throw the quad, or modified quaffle, from team member to member, attempting to get it into the pot at the end of the pitch before it explodes. Any player in possession of the quad when it explodes must leave the pitch. Once the quad is safely in the pot, a small cauldron containing a solution which will prevent the quad exploding, the scorer's team is awarded a point, and a new quad is brought onto the pitch. Quadpot has had some success as a minority sport in Europe, though the vast majority of wizards remain faithful to Quidditch. The rival charms of Quadpot notwithstanding, Quidditch is gaining popularity in the United States. Two teams have already broken through at international level: the Sweetwater All-Stars from Texas, who gained a well-deserved win over the Quiberon Quaffle Punchers in 1993 after a thrilling five-day match, and the Fitchburg Finches from Massachusetts, who have now won the U.S. League seven times, and whose seeker, Maximus Brankovic III has captained America at the last two World Cups. South America. Quidditch is played throughout South America, though the game must compete with the popular quad pod here as in the north. Argentina and Brazil both reached the quarterfinals of the World Cup in the last century. Undoubtedly, the most skilled Quidditch nation in South America is Peru, which is tipped to become the first Latin World Cup winner within 10 years. Peruvian warlocks are believed to have had their first exposure to Quidditch from European wizards sent by the International Confederation to monitor the numbers of Vipertooths, Peru's native dragon. Quidditch has become a veritable obsession of the wizard community there since that time. And their most famous team, the Tarapoto Tree Skimmers, recently toured Europe to great acclaim. Asia. Quidditch has never achieved great popularity in the East, as the flying broomstick is a rarity in countries where the carpet is still the preferred mode of travel. The ministries of magic in countries such as India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Iran and Mongolia, all of whom maintain a flourishing trade in flying carpets, regard Quidditch with some suspicion, though the sport does have some fans among witches and wizards on the street. The exception to this general rule is Japan, where Quidditch has been gaining steadily in popularity over the last century. The most successful Japanese team, the Toyohashi Tengu, narrowly missed a win over Lithuania's Gorodok Gargoyles in 1994. The Japanese practice of ceremonially setting fire to their brooms in case of defeat is, however, frowned upon by the International Confederation of Wizards Quidditch Committee as being a waste of good wood. Chapter 9. The Development of the Racing Broom. Until the early 19th century, Quidditch was played on day brooms of varying quality. These brooms represented a massive advance over their medieval forerunners. The invention of the cushioning charm by Elliot Smethwick in 1820 went a long way towards making broomsticks more comfortable than ever before. Nevertheless, 19th century broomsticks were generally incapable of achieving high speeds and were often difficult to control at high altitudes. Brooms tended to be hand-produced by individual broom makers, and while they are admirable from the point of view of styling and craftsmanship, their performance rarely matched up to their handsome appearance. A case in point is the Oakshaft 79, so named because the first example was created in 1879. Crafted by the broom maker Elias Grimstone of Portsmouth, the Oakshaft is a handsome broom with a very thick oaken handle, designed for endurance flying and to withstand high winds. The Oakshaft is now a highly prized vintage broom, but attempts to use it for Quidditch were never successful. Too cumbersome to turn at high speed, the Oakshaft never gained much popularity with those who prized agility over safety, though it will always be remembered as the broom used in the first ever Atlantic broom crossing by Jocunda Sykes in 1935. Before that time, wizards preferred to take ships rather than trust broomsticks over such distances. Apparition becomes increasingly unreliable over very long distances, and only highly skilled wizards are wise to attempt it across continents. The Moon Trimmer, which was first created by Gladys Boothby in 1901, represented a leap forward in broom construction. And for a while, these slender, ash-handled brooms were in great demand as Quidditch brooms. The Moon Trimmer's principal advantage over other brooms was its ability to achieve greater heights than ever before and remain controllable at such altitudes. Gladys Boothby was unable to produce moon trimmers in the quantities Quidditch players clamoured for. The production of a new broom, the Silver Arrow, was welcomed. This was the true forerunner of the racing broom, achieving much higher speeds than the moon trimmer or Oakshaft, up to 70 miles an hour with a tailwind. But like these, it was the work of a single wizard, Leonard Jukes, and demand far outstripped supply. The breakthrough occurred in 1926, when the brothers Bob, Bill, and Barnaby Ollerton started the Clean Sweep Broom Company. Their first model, the Clean Sweep One, was produced in numbers never seen before and marketed as a racing broom specifically designed for sporting use. The Clean Sweep was an instant runaway success, cornering as no broom before it, and within a year, every Quidditch team in the country was mounted on Clean Sweeps. The Ollerton brothers were not left in sole possession of the racing broom market for long. In 1929, a second racing broom company was established by Randolph Keach and Basil Horton, both players for the Falmouth Falcons. The Comet Trading Company's first broom was the Comet 140, this being the number of models that Keach and Horton had tested prior to its release. The patented Horton-Keach braking charm meant that Quidditch players were much less likely to overshoot goals or fly offside, and the Comet now became the broom of preference for many British and Irish teams in consequence. While the Clean Sweep Comet competition became more intense, marked by the release of the improved Clean Sweeps 2 and 3 in 1934 and 1937 respectively, and the Comet 180 in 1938, other broomstick manufacturers were springing up all over Europe. The Tinder Blast was launched on the market in 1940. Produced by the Black Forest Company Ellaby and Spudmore, the Tinder Blast is a highly resilient broom, though it has never achieved the top speeds of the Comets and Clean Sweeps. In 1952, Ellaby and Spudmore brought out a new model, the Swift Stick. Faster than the Tinder Blast, the Swift Stick, nevertheless, has a tendency to lose power in ascent and has never been used by professional Quidditch teams. In 1955, Universal Brooms Limited introduced the Shooting Star, the cheapest racing broom to date. Unfortunately, after its initial burst of popularity, the Shooting Star was found to lose speed and height as it aged, and Universal Brooms went out of business in 1978. In 1967, the broom world was galvanized by the formation of the Nimbus Racing Broom Company. Nothing like the Nimbus 1000 had ever been seen before. Reaching speeds of up to 100 miles per hour, capable of turning 360 degrees at a fixed point in mid-air, the Nimbus combined the reliability of the old Oakshaft 79 with the easy handling of the best Clean Sweeps. The Nimbus immediately became the broom preferred by professional Quidditch teams across Europe, and the subsequent models 1001, 1500, and 1700 have kept the Nimbus Racing Broom Company at the top of the field. The Twigger 90, first produced in 1990, was intended by its manufacturers Flight and Barker to replace the Nimbus as market leader. However, though highly finished and including a number of new gimmicks, such as an inbuilt warning whistle and self-straightening brush, the Twigger has been found to warp under high speeds and has gained the unlucky reputation of being flown by wizards with more galleons than sense. Chapter 10. Quidditch Today. The game of Quidditch continues to thrill and obsess its many fans around the world. Nowadays, every purchaser of a Quidditch match ticket is guaranteed to witness a sophisticated contest between highly skilled flyers. Unless, of course, the snitch is caught in the first 5 minutes of the match, in which case we all feel slightly shortchanged. Nothing demonstrates this more than the difficult moves that have been invented over its long history by witches and wizards eager to push themselves and the game as far as they can go. Some of these are listed below. Bludger Backbeat. A move by which the beater strikes the bludger with a backhanded club swing, sending it behind him or her rather than in front. Difficult to bring off with precision, but excellent for confusing opponents. Doppelbeater Defense. Both beaters hit a bludger at the same time for extra power, resulting in a bludger attack of greater severity. Double Eight Loop. A keeper defense, usually employed against penalty takers, whereby the keeper swerves around all three goal hoops at high speed to block the quaffle. Hawkshead attacking formation. Chasers form an arrowhead pattern and fly together towards the goalpost. Highly intimidating to opposing teams and effective in forcing other players aside. Parkins Pincer. So named for the original members of the Wigtown Wanderers, who are reputed to have invented this move. Two chasers close in on an opposing chaser on either side, while the third flies headlong towards him or her. Plumpton Pass. Seeker move. A seemingly careless swerve that scoops the snitch up one sleeve. Named after Roderick Plumpton, Tutsil Tornado Seeker, who employed the move in his famous record-breaking snitch catch of 1921. Although some critics have alleged that this was an accident, Plumpton maintained until his death that he had meant to do it. Porskoff Ploy. The chaser, carrying the quaffle, flies upwards, leading opposing chasers to believe he or she is trying to escape them to score, but then throws the quaffle downwards to a fellow chaser waiting to catch it. Pinpoint timing is of the essence, named after the Russian chaser, Petrova Porskoff. Reverse Pass. A chaser throws the quaffle over one shoulder to a team member. Accuracy is difficult. Sloth Grip Roll. Hanging upside down off the broom, gripping tightly with hands and feet to avoid a bludger. Starfish and Stick. Keeper Defense. The keeper holds the broom horizontally with one hand and one foot curled around the handle, while keeping all limbs outstretched. The starfish without stick should never be attempted. Transylvanian Tackle. First seen at the World Cup of 1473, this is a fake punch aimed at the nose. As long as contact is not made, the move is not illegal, though it is difficult to pull off when both parties are on speeding broomsticks. Wollongong Shimmy. Affected by the Australian Wollongong Warriors, this is a high-speed zigzagging movement intended to throw off opposing chasers. Ronski Feint. The seeker hurtles towards the ground, pretending to have seen the snitch far below, but pulls out of the dive just before hitting the pitch, intended to make the opposing seeker copy him and crash. Named after the Polish seeker Josef Ronski. There can be no doubt that Quidditch has changed beyond all recognition since Gertie Kettle first watched those dubskulls on Quidditch Marsh. Perhaps, had she lived today, she too would have thrilled to the poetry and power of Quidditch. Long may the game continue to evolve, and long may future generations of witches and wizards enjoy this most glorious of sports. About the author. Kenilworthy Wisp is a renowned Quidditch expert, and he says fanatic. He is the author of many Quidditch-related works, including The Wonder of Wigtown Wanderers, He Flew Like a Madman, a biography of Dangerous Di Llewellyn, and Beating the Bludgers, a study of defensive strategies in Quidditch. Kenilworthy Wisp divides his time between his home in Nottinghamshire and wherever Wigtown Wanderers are playing this week. His hobbies include backgammon, vegetarian cookery, and collecting vintage broomsticks. Praise for Quidditch through the ages. Kenilworthy Wisp's painstaking research has uncovered a veritable treasure trove of hitherto unknown facts about the sport of warlocks. A fascinating read. Matilda Bagshot, author, A History of Magic. Wisp has produced a thoroughly enjoyable book. Quidditch fans are sure to find it both instructive and entertaining. editor Witch Broomstick. The definitive work on the origins and history of Quidditch, highly recommended. Brutus Scrimgeour, author, The Beater's Bible. Mr. Wisp shows a lot of promise. If he keeps up the good work, he may well find himself sharing a photo shoot with me one of these days. Gilderoy Lockhart, author, Magical Me. Bet you anything it'll be a bestseller. Go on, I betcha. Ludovic Bagman, England and Wimborne Wasps Beater.
I've read worse.
Rita Skeeter, Daily Prophet. Lumos, protecting children, providing solutions. There are 8 million children living in orphanages worldwide, even though 80% of them are not orphans. Most children are institutionalized because their parents are poor and cannot adequately provide for them. And while many institutions are established or supported with good intentions, more than 80 years of research proves that raising children in orphanages harms their health and development, increases their exposure to abuse and trafficking, and seriously reduces their chances of a happy, healthy future. Put simply, children need families, not orphanages. Lumos, a charity founded by J.K. Rowling, is named after the light-giving spell from Harry Potter that brings light to the darkest of places. At Lumos, that is exactly what we do. We reveal the children hidden away in institutions and transform systems of care globally so that all children have the families they need and the futures they deserve. Thank you for buying this book. If you would like to join J.K. Rowling and Lumos as part of our global movement for change, you can find out how to get involved at wearelumos.org, at Lumos, and Facebook. Comic Relief UK. Since 2001, Quidditch Through the Ages and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them have raised nearly £20 million for Comic Relief. A magic amount of money that is already hard at work changing lives. Money raised through the sale of this new edition will be invested in children and young people around the world, preparing them to be ready for the future, to be safe, healthy, educated, and empowered. We are particularly interested in helping those children who start their lives in the most difficult circumstances, where there is conflict, violence, neglect, or abuse. Thank you for your support. To find out more about Comic Relief, go to comicrelief.com, follow us on Twitter at Comic Relief, or like us on Facebook. Welcome to our bonus section. You're about to enjoy a bit more Quidditch material, narrated for the first time for this audiobook. Here we explore the history of the Quidditch World Cup, written by J.K. Rowling in 2014 for Pottermore.com. We also take a look at some of the Daily Prophet's reports on the preliminary rounds of the 2014 Quidditch World Cup, also written by J.K. Rowling, via the voices of our two commentators, Ginny Potter and Rita Skeeter. There's a duo we weren't quite expecting. We do hope you enjoy feeling like you're listening to a real-life Quidditch match. History of the Quidditch World Cup. According to the official guide to the Quidditch World Cup, produced by the International Confederation of Wizards Quidditch Committee, ICWQC, and available through all reputable wizarding bookstores for what many feel is the ridiculously overpriced sum of 39 galleons, the tournament has been held every 4 years since 1473. As with so much else about the Wizarding World's most important sporting competition, many query the accuracy of this statement. As only European teams competed during the 15th and 16th centuries, purists prefer to date the Quidditch World Cup's inception from the 17th century, when it became open to all continents. There is also heated debate about the accuracy of some historical accounts of tournaments. A substantial amount of all post-game analysis centers on whether magical interference took place and whether it made or ought to have made the final result moot. The ICWQC has the unlucky job of regulating this contentious and anarchic competition. The rulebook concerning both on- and off-pitch magic is alleged to stretch to 19 volumes and to include such rules as: no dragon is to be introduced into the stadium for any purpose, including, but not limited to, team mascot, coach, or cup warmer. And modification of any part of the referee's body, whether or not he or she has requested such modification, will lead to a lifetime ban from the tournament and possibly imprisonment. A source of vehement disagreements, a security risk for all who attend it, and a frequent focus of unrest and protest, the Quidditch World Cup is simultaneously the most exhilarating sporting event on Earth and a logistical nightmare for the host nation. Statute of Secrecy. A watershed moment for the Quidditch World Cup was the implementation of the International Statute of Secrecy in 1692, which was intended to conceal the existence of magic and wizards. The International Confederation of Wizards, ICW, saw the Quidditch World Cup as a security risk of the highest magnitude because of the mass movement and congregation of so many members of the international wizarding community. However, following mass protests and threats to the ICW, it was agreed that the tournament could continue, and a regulatory body, the ICWQC, was set up to locate suitable venues, usually remote moors, deserts, and deserted islands, arrange transportation for spectators, as many as 100,000 routinely attend finals, and police the games themselves, a task generally agreed to be among the most thankless and difficult in the wizarding world. How the tournament works. The number of countries that enter a Quidditch team for each World Cup fluctuates from tournament to tournament. Where the wizarding population of a country is small, it can be difficult to raise a team of the required standard. But other factors, such as international conflict or disaster, may affect the entry numbers. However, any country may enter a team within the 12 months following the last final. Teams are then divided into 16 groups, within which every team plays all the others over a 2-year period, until 16 winning teams remain. During the group phase, game length is capped at 4 hours to prevent player exhaustion. Inevitably, this means that some group games have no snitch catches, but are decided on goals alone. Any win in the group phase counts for 2 points. A win by more than 150 points earns an additional 5 points, by 100, an additional 3 points, and 50, 1 point. In the case of a tie on points, the winner is the team who caught the snitch most often or most quickly during its matches. The final 16 are ranked according to the points they won during the group phase. The team with the most points plays the team with least. The team with the second most points plays the team with the second least, and so on. In theory, the two best teams will remain to play each other in the final. Referees are chosen by the ICWQC. Infamous tournaments. No Quidditch World Cup is without its controversies, but some stand out. A few of the most infamous are listed below. Attack of the Killer Forest. The ghastly climax of the 1809 final between Romania and New Spain, what is now known as Mexico, has gone down in wizarding history as the worst exhibition of temper ever given by an individual player. Nico Nenad's teammates had become so concerned by his ferocious outbursts during the quarter and semi-finals that they tried to persuade their manager to substitute him for the final, advice that was sadly ignored by the ambitious old wizard. After the game, Nenad's teammate, Ivan Popa, winner of an International Wizarding Order of Merit for his life-saving actions during the catastrophe, told an international inquiry,
"Over the preceding weeks, we'd seen Nico beat himself over the head with his broom and set fire to his own feet in frustration. I'd personally stopped him strangling two referees. However, I had no suspicion about what he was planning to do if the final didn't go our way. I mean, who'd suspect that? You'd have to be as mental as he was."
Precisely when and how Nenad managed to jinx an entire forest on the edge of the West Siberian plain is open to speculation, although he is thought to have had accomplices among unprincipled fans and was later proven to have paid local dark wizards substantial sums. After 2 hours of play, Romania were behind on points and looking tired. It was then that Nenad deliberately hit a bludger out of the stadium into the forest beyond the pitch. The effect was instantaneous and murderous. The trees sprang to life, wrenched their roots out of the ground, and marched upon the stadium, flattening everything in their path, causing numerous injuries and several fatalities. What had been a Quidditch match turned swiftly into a human versus tree battle, which the wizards won only after several hours' hard fighting. Nenad was not prosecuted, as he had been killed early on by a particularly violent spruce. The tournament that nobody remembers. The ICWQC insists that a tournament has been held every 4 years since 1473. This is a source of pride, proving as it does that nothing, wars, adverse weather conditions, or muggle interference can stop wizards playing Quidditch. There is, however, a mystery surrounding the tournament of 1877. The competition was undoubtedly planned, a venue chosen, the Rin Desert in Kazakhstan, publicity materials produced, tickets sold. In August, however, the wizarding world woke up to the fact that they had no memory whatsoever of the tournament taking place. Neither those in possession of tickets nor any of the players could remember a single game. However, for reasons none of them understood, English beater Lucas Bargeworthy was missing most of his teeth, Canadian seeker Angelus Peel's knees were on backwards, and half the Argentinian team were found tied up in the basement of a pub in Cardiff. Precisely what had or had not taken place during the tournament has never been satisfactorily proven. Theories range from a mass memory charm perpetuated by the Goblin Liberation Front, at that time very active and attracting a number of disaffected anarchist wizards, or the breakout of Cerebrumus spatagroit, a virulent substrain of the more common spatagroit, which causes severe confusion and memory impairment. In any case, it was deemed appropriate to restage the tournament in 1878, and it has been held every 4 years since, which accounts for the slight anomaly in the every 4 years since 1473 sequence. Royston Idlewind and the Dissimulators. In 1971, the ICWQC appointed a new international director, Australian wizard Royston Idlewind. An ex-player who had been part of his country's World Cup winning team of 1966, he was nevertheless a contentious choice for international director due to his hardline views on crowd control, a stance undoubtedly influenced by the many jinxes he had endured as Australia's star chaser. Idlewind's statement that he considered the crowd "the only thing I don't like about Quidditch" did not endear him to fans. Their feelings turned to outright hostility when he proceeded to bring in a number of draconian regulations, the worst being a total ban on all wands from the stadium except those carried by ICWQC officials. Many fans threatened to boycott the 1974 World Cup in protest, but as empty stands were Idlewind's secret ambition, their strategy never stood a chance. The tournament duly commenced, and while crowd turnout was reduced, the appearance of dissimulators, an innovative new style of musical instrument, enlivened every match. These multicolored tube-like objects emitted loud cries of support and puffs of smoke in national colors. As the tournament progressed, the dissimulator craze grew, as did the crowds. By the time the Syria-Madagascar final arrived, the stands were packed with a record crowd of wizards, each carrying his or her own dissimulator. Upon the appearance of Royston Idlewind in the box for dignitaries and high-ranking officials, 100,000 dissimulators emitted loud raspberries and were transformed instantly into the ones they had been disguising all along. Humiliated by the mass flouting of his pet law, Royston Idlewind resigned instantly. Even the supporters of the losers, Madagascar, had something to celebrate during the rest of the long, raucous night. Reappearance of the Dark Mark. Possibly the most infamous World Cup final of the last few centuries was the Ireland-Bulgaria match of 1994, which took place on Dartmoor, England. During the post-match celebrations of Ireland's triumph, there was an outbreak of unprecedented violence as supporters of Lord Voldemort attacked fellow wizards and captured and tortured local muggles. For the first time in 14 years, the Dark Mark appeared in the sky, which caused widespread alarm and resulted in many injuries among the crowd. The ICWQC censured the Ministry of Magic heavily after the event, judging that security arrangements had been inadequate given the known existence of a violent, pure-blood tendency in the United Kingdom. Royston Idlewind emerged briefly from retirement to give the following statement to the Daily Prophet.
"A wand ban doesn't look so stupid now, does it?"
Quidditch World Cup, 1990 to 2014. 1990, Canada 270, Scotland 240. A bitter disappointment for Scotland, whose seeker Hector Lamont missed catching the snitch by millimeters. In a post-match interview, Hector famously lambasted his father, Stubby Lamont, for not giving him longer fingers. 1994, Ireland 170, Bulgaria 160. The on-pitch action was very much overshadowed by the events that followed this match. A spectacular snitch capture by young seeker Victor Crumb was enough to salvage Bulgarian dignity, but not to secure a win. 1998, Malawi 260, Senegal 180. Only the second ever All-African final. Following the 1994 riots, security at this match was tighter than ever before. Senegal almost refused to play when their team mascots, Yumbos, were arrested outside the stadium. Yumbos are a kind of African house elf, and they took their arrest in reasonably good part, merely stealing every bit of food within a 10-mile radius in revenge and vanishing into the night. 2002. Egypt 450, Bulgaria 300. Another crushing disappointment for Bulgaria. Victor Krum was narrowly beaten to the snitch by the outstanding Egyptian seeker, Roya Zarglul. After the match, a tearful Krum announced his retirement. 2006, Burkina Faso 300, France 220. A popular win for the small African nation, whose seeker, Joshua Sankara, was promptly named Burkina Bay Minister for Magic. 2 days later, he resigned, pointing out that he'd much rather play Quidditch. 2010, Moldova 750, China 640. A furiously contested match that lasted 3 days and was widely held to have produced some of the finest Quidditch seen this century. The tiny country of Moldova has consistently produced excellent Quidditch teams, and supporters were heartbroken that they failed to qualify this year due to an outbreak of dragonpox at their training camp. The Quidditch World Cup 2014. This year's Quidditch World Cup promises to be as exciting as ever. The 16 competing countries are Brazil, Bulgaria, Chad, Fiji, Germany, Haiti, Ivory Coast, Jamaica, Japan, Liechtenstein, New Zealand, Nigeria, Norway, Poland, USA, and Wales. Nigeria and Norway enter the tournament as the two highest-ranked teams. This is the first year that the USA is thought to have a reasonable chance of reaching the final. Much interest has been generated by the return to the Bulgarian side of the previously retired Viktor Krum, who at 38 is old for a seeker, but whose stated aim is to win the World Cup before I die. For this reason, Bulgaria is attracting support from those whose own countries have not qualified. Liechtenstein caused a serious upset in the qualifying stages by winning the group over last year's runners-up, China. Liechtenstein's team mascot is a gloomy, oversized augury called Hans, who has his own fan club. Other than this, nothing out of the ordinary has been reported. Rumors that Haiti have used Inferi to intimidate opposing teams have been dismissed by the ICWQC as malicious and baseless. Accusations that Polish seeker Bonaventura Wojciech is actually the famous Italian seeker Luciano Volpi transfigured were only disproven when Luciano Volpi agreed to a press conference by Wojciech's side. Welsh manager Gwenog Jones, formerly of the Holyhead Harpies, threatened to curse the face off rival Brazilian manager Jose Barbosa when he called her chasers talentless hags, a comment he later insisted had been taken out of context. Opening games will take place next month in the Patagonian desert.
Daily Prophet, 12th of April, 2014. Disastrous opening ceremony leads to questions about Quidditch World Cup security. From the Daily Prophet's Quidditch correspondent in the Patagonian desert, Ginny Potter. Not a single quaffle thrown, not a single snitch caught, but the 427th Quidditch World Cup is already mired in controversy. Magizoologists have congregated in the desert to contain the mayhem, and healers have attended more than 300 crowd members suffering from shock, broken bones and bites. The Argentinian Council of Magic is reeling from accusations that their decision to stage a mascot-themed opening ceremony was foolish and reckless. In the weeks leading up to the opening, an impressive ornamental lake was created in the middle of the desert to accommodate the Fijian team's Dukawaka, a shark-man shapeshifter. Organisers announced that mascots representing the other teams participating in the first week's matches would take part in a choreographed display, advertised as a magnificent exhibition of the diversity of the magizoological world. The ceremony started in gentle style, with river genies from the Ivory Coast dancing in formation over the surface of the lake. It was only when the Fijian and Norwegian mascots were released that disaster struck. President of the Argentinian Council of Magic, Valentina Vasquez, has issued the following statement. While prepared for the arrival of the Fijian Dukawaka, we were surprised when the Norwegian delegation announced that they would also require lake space for a gigantic lake serpent, the Selma. We had assumed that the Norwegians would be accompanied by their usual troop of performing trolls. We are not aware that any study has ever been undertaken into the compatibility of Dukawakas and Selmas, so the Council of Magic cannot accept liability for the unfortunate consequences of placing the two in close proximity. Speaking exclusively to the Daily Prophet, Chief Consulting Magizoologist Rolf Scamander disagreed. The Dukawaka lives in a warm ocean, the Selma in an icy freshwater lake. The former is a shapeshifter that can transform from fish to man. The latter is a serpent that devours human flesh and fish. You would need the brains of a billywig not to foresee an immediate bloodbath if both were crammed tightly together in tepid, brackish water. A bloodbath is precisely what occurred when the two monsters were released into the magical lake through gigantic crystal chutes. Fijian and Norwegian handlers plunged into the seething waters to contain their respective mascots, but their efforts were greatly hampered by the Brazilian curupiras, red-haired, forest-dwelling dwarves whose feet point backwards and who protect fellow creatures whom they feel are under threat from humans. Evidently believing that the handlers meant the Dukawaka and the Selma harm, the curupiras attacked. With panic in the stadium and blood now flowing freely from both humans and creatures, it was perhaps understandable that the Nigerian Sasabonsums, vampiric spindle-legged creatures, became crazed. As they wreaked havoc upon crowd and organisers, the rumour that the Haitian team had brought in Fury as their mascots was proven true. The crowd stampeded as Inferi moved freely through the stadium, attempting to capture and devour anyone who tripped. Regulations on the size and nature of mascots have long been a source of debate at the highest levels of the ICWQC. A motion to restrict mascots to herbivores, creatures smaller than a cow, and nothing that breathes fire was defeated by an overwhelming majority in 1995. Quidditch supporters worldwide have been opposed to any meddling with what they see as a traditional, colourful part of the World Cup. However, many believe that competition among teams to bring the most intimidating mascot has got out of hand. Norwegian manager Arnulf Moe defended his decision to bring the Selma, which he said represented the steely determination and ferocity of the Norwegian players, and claimed that the Dukawaka bit first. A record crowd has been transported by 10,000 portkeys to the heart of the Patagonian desert for the opening weekend of the tournament. And while the Argentinian council has been widely praised for the flawless transportation arrangements, the record number of injuries sustained before the first whistle has been blown is sure to be an embarrassment to the organisers. The first game of the tournament will take place tomorrow, Norway versus Ivory Coast. First round matches, 13th of April, 2014. Norway versus Ivory Coast. From the Daily Prophet's Quidditch correspondent in the Patagonian desert, Ginny Potter. Joint favourites in this year's tournament, Norway today made short work of Ivory Coast, who were not playing at their often impressive best. The last time these sides met, the game lasted for 5 days. Today, the final whistle was blown in a little over 2 hours. Norway's resolve and discipline was impressive, given the level of hostility they faced from the crowd, many of whom were still bandaged following the Norwegian mascot's behaviour of yesterday. The match was twice halted whilst security wizards entered the stands to discover the source of jinxes sent at celebrated Norwegian chaser Lars Lundekvam. Ivoirian chaser Elodie Dembele, aged only 18, scored 7 of Ivory Coast's 10 goals. Norwegian seeker Sigrid Kristoffersen outraced her counterpart Sylvian Boigny to take the snitch in the 128th minute. Norway 340, Ivory Coast 100. 14th of May 2014, Nigeria versus Fiji. From the Daily Prophet's Quidditch correspondent in the Patagonian desert, Ginny Potter. Pity Fijian seeker Joseph Snooker as he tries to justify his side's bruising 400-160 defeat at the hands of tournament favourites Nigeria. In the early stages of the game, Fijian beaters Quinty Akarase and Narinder Singh lacked the ferocity of their Nigerian counterparts, Aliko Okoye and Mercy Ojukwu. The bludgers did serious damage to the Fijian chasers, who managed only a single goal during the first hour, compared with Nigeria's 40. To the bewilderment of commentators, the fury of Fijian supporters and the jeers of the Nigerians, Sika Snooker chose to capture the snitch in the 141st minute when his team was trailing 400-10. While there is precedent for a Sika choosing to catch the snitch, if so doing will minimise the margin by which their team are about to lose, the most famous recent occasion being Victor Crumb's snitch capture in the 1994 final, Snooker's counterpart Samuel Equiano was some distance away when he chose to snatch the snitch from the air. Snooker has previously been dubbed an egoist by teammates, and today's actions will do little to change his reputation. Fijian manager and trainer Hector Bolobolo's only comment after the match was, "I'm going to kill him." Nigeria will face the winner of the Japan versus Poland match. Nigeria 400, Fiji 160. 15th of May, 2014, Brazil versus Haiti. From the Daily Prophet's Quidditch correspondent in the Patagonian desert, Ginny Potter. One of the oldest rules in Quidditch was violated in Haiti's match against Brazil, resulting in the first disqualification of the tournament. Haitian keeper Lanelle Paraison, one of only three female keepers flying this tournament, was forced to justify her selection again and again during the early hours of the game, as Brazilian chasers Dias, Alonso and Flores made as many as 30 assaults on the hoops. That they scored only 10 goals is testimony to Paraison's agility and courage. Her nose was twice broken during the first 60 minutes, once by a ferocious bludger mishit by her own teammate, beater Jean-Baptiste Blancourt. At the other end of the pitch, star Haitian chaser Clervius Hippolyte was responsible for 8 of his side's 9 goals. In spite of Brazil's narrow lead in the fourth hour, many felt that the Haitian side was outplaying the Brazilians when Blancourt made his second devastating mishit. The Haitian seeker Sylviane Jolicoeur was within inches of capturing the snitch when he was hit by another of Blancourt's poorly aimed bludgers and knocked out cold. The snitch then flew up Blancourt's sleeve, a rare but not unknown accident. Only the seeker may capture the snitch, and any other player catching it will forfeit the game, is a tenet drummed into every schoolboy or girl who plays Quidditch. But Blancourt appeared to lose his head at this point, wrestling the snitch out of his undergarments and holding it up triumphantly as though this would indemnify him for the blunders he had made. Haiti was instantly disqualified. Haitian seeker Jolicoeur is making a good recovery. Beta Blancourt is currently in hiding at an undisclosed location. Brazil will face the winner of the Wales versus Germany match. Brazil 100, Haiti disqualified. 90 plus illegal capture of snitch. 16th of May 2014, USA versus Jamaica. From the Daily Prophet's Quidditch correspondent in the Patagonian desert, Ginny Potter. Yet more controversy in Patagonia. The outcome of the USA versus Jamaica clash is under investigation due to the sudden collapse of Kwawanda Bailey, the Jamaican keeper, who toppled from her broom shortly before US chaser Quentin Kowalski scored their 9th goal. Seconds after the referee successfully halted Bailey's groundwards plummet with a well-timed arresto momentum, US seeker Darius Smackhammer caught the snitch ahead of Jamaican counterpart Shanice Higgins, resulting in a narrow victory for the United States. The timing of Kwawanda's sudden unconsciousness was so convenient that authorities are examining the possibility of crowd interference. Omnioculars from all over the stadium are being scrutinised for recorded evidence. The ICWQC has intimated that they will not be in a position to rule on the validity of the result until tomorrow. An amendment to the rules of Quidditch in 1849 stipulates that if a member of the crowd casts any jinx or spell on a player, their team will automatically forfeit the match, whether or not the team ordered or approved of the magic performed.